Titus chapter 1, please, and verse 9. We talked about this just in a small dose last week. We're not going to take this another step forward, please. Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. When you leave here this morning, I would ask only one thing. I would ask that you know how to define what we're preaching on. Everybody look at me, please. I would ask that all of you know how to define this quickly. It's going to be that easy. Okay? Four ideas. It's going to come up a little bit later. We're going to talk about sound doctrine. Before I do that, I have to pick on my friend Ade. Have any of you noticed that it's cold? Does anybody notice the common denominator? When he was away, it was warm. When he came back, he brought cold with him. Ade, I'm going to blame it on you, buddy. All the way from, you brought it from Cameroon in your suitcase. But good to see you. Let's stand, please. Let's stand together. Good to see Ade. Got to see his mom for a while. Is that right, brother? So that's very important. So Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. Now, friends, in another setting, we could discuss this, just this verse, for the whole service. You know, I'm capable of doing that. We're going to take the idea, because the idea is dominant in Titus, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and it is an idea that you and I must understand. That's the reason I said when you walk out those doors, you should be able to define sound doctrine. And everything you're going to hear for about sound doctrine, I developed in my own thinking about 40 years ago. And it's one of the pastor's primary jobs in your Bibles. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Holding fast. ESV, I think, says holding firm. If that helps you, it's like this. Holding on to it. The faithful word, meaning the word of God that you can trust, that you can believe, that you can obey. It's something faithful. You can hold on to it. But a pastor's job is holding on, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. The idea being is to be a pastor requires some kind of training. Now, you say they didn't go to college in those days. Look at me. No, they studied under Paul. Do you think he taught them anything? And Titus then taught men. So there's always some kind of an academic process here. In our world, that normally encompasses minimally a Bible college degree, hopefully some sort of a master's degree, because that's just what it requires to be able to handle it well. So holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, for what purpose? That he may be able, and this is confusing in Greek and in English. There's two different things he wants to do here. So I'll read it and then explain. He says that he may be able by sound doctrine, that's what we're going to talk about, that phrase, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers, which simply means those who are speaking against. He actually has two ideas in mind. He wants to be able to come alongside normal Christians and encourage them in the things of God. By sound doctrine. At the same time, he has to confront those who are teaching other things. Let me just say this. That second half, no one likes today. The difference between the 1960s and today is different, like we're living on two planets. Pastors used to preach 75 to 90% of the sermons I heard as a kid were negative. Now we want everything positive. By the way, I have a job to do, to preach and teach and communicate sound doctrine. I'm going to explain that. But I also have to do something about the other side of that picture. That's his point. All right, we're going to talk about sound doctrine. It'll be in this text, friends, but it'll be bigger than just this text because it's an idea that we must understand. Let's pray together. Father, I ask your help this morning. Lord, I've been obviously thinking about these ideas more than a week, just the idea of sound doctrine. And the harder part as a pastor is how difficult it is to pull this off. It sounds real simple. Oh, yeah, sound doctrine. But once you start to try to say, how do I do this in a church setting, it becomes very difficult. Help me this morning. May your word help us. I ask in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. By the way, here's the good news for everybody. No one has to get right with God today. It's not that kind of a sermon. We're going to talk about sound doctrine. Really, we have to start with, what in the world does that even mean? We'll get there in a moment. Sound doctrine. I have 5 grandsons. I get to see all of them, but I get to see 2 of them a lot. The 2 of them, I like the 2 local. I like them a lot. I like the other 3. A few weeks back, on Sundays, not every Sunday, but most Sundays, Jared and Amy and the 2 boys come to our house for a meal. It's a nice time to talk, tell lies, tell stories, you know, all that stuff. We have fun. Well, Jesse was in a mood. Jesse was speaking a language that we don't speak. He was speaking whinese. Have you ever heard of the language? He was whining. Normally, you know, he whines for a while like most kids, and then he moves on past his whinese. Now, by the way, I don't know where he learned whinese from, but he can really speak it sometimes. He was just doing the whole thing. Whinese, moping around, pouting, grumpy. And we really, it wasn't my job to figure it all out, but my wife is very sensitive. She wanted to understand because she wants to always help the kid, the grandkids. I don't care because I don't have a heart. Finally, Jenny and Amy figured out why he was speaking whinese. Look at me, everybody. Because his oma, his grandmother, his Lola, had not cut up a fresh cucumber for him to eat. Have you ever met a 7-year-old or 6-year-old kid that likes to eat cucumbers? I don't like cucumbers now. She goes and specially prepares Jesse. I guarantee you already have it done, don't you? Not yet. You'll do that when we go home. That's in process. She's already... You say what? Jesse will eat whole cucumbers. He'll also eat broccoli. He likes it. You know, if there's meat, potatoes, bread, anything else, I'll eat broccoli sometime. My wife always says, do you like broccoli? I say, yes. She doesn't ask me broccoli. She says, do you like bananas? And I'll say, yes. She says, there's some. I never eat them, but I like them. Jesse eats all of that stuff. For whatever reason, he eats good food. He's strange. Then there's another guy. Do you know his name? He does not speak whinese. He speaks another language. It's also a foreign language that I don't understand. If he looks at something and he doesn't like it, it's like, no! He won't eat. Now Amy is training him to at least, and I got to be careful with this, you at least have to lick it once to make sure that you don't like it. I would just say this. He does not eat always healthy. Recently, I got a video. He was so happy, and Amy was more happy. She sent me a video of him eating, what did he call it? A chicken nugget sandwich. He will not eat sandwiches. It wasn't a chicken nugget sandwich, by the way. It was some kind of a chicken sandwich you'd cut up in little pieces, put on a piece. With nothing else. You say, why? Because one guy speaks whinese if he doesn't get healthy food. The other one, he speaks another language. It's the language of yuck, no, ooh, ah, that kind of thing. Well, in your notes, or behind me, excuse me, not in your notes, somewhere along the way, we get to something, and this is nothing deep, friends. We get to recognizing healthy food, or could I say in a better way, as I put this up today, probably we start recognizing healthier food. You don't have to be a health food nut to know you should eat certain things and not eat all the other things. We also start learning to prepare healthy or healthier foods, and we hopefully learn to eat, or we learn about eating healthy or healthy food, hopefully. So What is sound doctrine? Well, let's look at the text again. Titus 1:9 says, holding the faithful word as he has been taught. By the way, which assumes this, friends. Look at me. If Pastor Warren came here and he's changed 15 times in the last 30 years, do you have a problem with that? Hey, I asked you a question. Two or three of our Bible colleges since I have been here have had presidents that don't know who they are. It's like, aren't you a stable individual that can hold on to the truths of Scripture and you have been trained in a certain way? And by the way, those Bible colleges closed because the leadership lost who they were, not the students, the leaders. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine. Didaskalia is the word, just a word for teaching. And the word hugiaino, well, that's the verbal form, which means healthy. So a pastor is to be preaching and teaching what I'm going to call, number one, sound doctrine is simply healthy doctrine, or better than doctrine. Look at me, everybody, because some Christians have this like magical, oh, it's doctrine. Doctrine in English is just a word for teaching. Friends, a pastor's job is to preach and teach and hold forth healthy teaching, that which is healthy. I have the Greek words on the board. Hugiaino and hugies, the verb and the noun, means healthy, sound, pure, whole, wholesome, or well, or could I say healthy and health-giving. They give health. So a pastor's job is to teach that which produces health in the people because what he's teaching and preaching is healthy. Now, I haven't said anything yet, by the way. I haven't said a word. Because everybody thinks what they say is healthy. We'll get to what that means in a few minutes. I want to run through verses very quickly. I'm not going to read all these. We could put 10 or 15 more up. I just want you to see these Greek words found in the New Testament, okay? Luke chapter 7, verse 10. And as they were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole. He had been sick before, and now he's whole. He's healthy. Things are back in place. Luke 15:27, I always love this verse. We use this, at least in my world, safe and sound. It says, and he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound, healthy, whole, complete, all the parts there. So any kind of an idea about sound teaching has to have the idea of all the parts are there. It's healthy. It is healthy, in innately healthy, and it also produces health. That's the idea. 1 Timothy 6:3, it's used again. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome or healthy words. 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast that form of sound words, those healthy words that are innately healthy and produce health. Matthew 12, verse 13. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thy hand, and he stretched it forth and restored it whole. Again, that's all the words for this idea of healthy, sound doctrine is something that is healthy, it is health-giving, it is wholesome, it makes you whole. Mark 5:34, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. John 5:4, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole. That's the idea, healthy, whole, health-giving. Titus 1:9, we've already read. Verse 13 says, this witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. They're whole in the faith. They're not missing pieces. It's all there. Titus 2, verse 2, that the aged men be sober. Well, excuse me, 2, verse 1, a very important verse. But he says, but speak you. Titus says, Paul says to Titus, which is going to go to the pastors, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, healthy, wholesome, health-giving teaching. Whatever you do needs to produce that. That's what you're looking for. The rest of chapter 2 is going to explain what that means, but 2 verse 2 says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith. Sound meaning healthy, wholesome, whole. Titus 2:8, sound speech, it implies there's a way of talking that's not healthy. I had a conversation with David Saxon. I'm going to let you in on just about this much of it. In a world that you have no idea about, I said, brother, I said this in this church recently. You know, a person can be a good person, but not good for you. I'm going to ask that again. Do you know a person could be a good person and not good for you? Do you know that? The moment you know that, what do? You either separate from that person or you minimize their influence. By the way, we need to be around people whose conversation makes us in a better place, not in a worse place, or we're always where we have been for 30 years. You want people to move you forward. That's sound, healthy speech. Well, that's the first idea. Sound doctrine is simply healthy doctrine or teaching. Just that simple. I tried to walk you through many verses. If you don't have these verses, by the way, these aren't all of them. There's still probably quite a few left out there. I just gave you a smattering to show you the idea. Sound doctrine is simply healthy doctrine or teaching, which means it is innately healthy and it produces health. That's the idea. We come to the second idea, Titus chapter 2, verse 1. He then commands all of the pastor, overseer, elders, which is all the same individual, all the men that function as pastors, overseers, and elders, but speak thou. Paul says to Titus is saying to the pastors, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. So all of your preaching, teaching, and emphasizing must be that which produces healthy people. It has to be appropriate, the sound doctrine and the sound living. The healthy doctrine and the healthy living, they have to be connected. And I'm not going to try to prove this in Titus 2. That'll be future. He goes right immediately and talks to the older men, that the aged men, meaning older men, be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. So he goes after that idea. 4 or 5 years ago, I don't know the date, haven't got it memorized. So I'm speaking to you now. I went to my doctor, and my doctor didn't ask my opinion. He didn't pray with me. He didn't tell me, I don't want you to be shocked. He just did tests. And one of those tests was a curse word, A1C. Anybody know what it is? Yes? By the way, A1C is new since I worked in a laboratory. When I worked in a laboratory, you did a glucose test. We would have people cheat. Would you believe people with diabetes cheat? They wouldn't eat anything for 3 days, so their glucose would be a normal. But an A1C doesn't care how much you cheat on that test, because it tests your glucose for a 3-month period. The normal range, you can figure that out, but it goes up to like 6, 6, 6, 2, something like that on a normal person. Mine was 9.7. I have a question for you. Did I already know I had a problem with diabetes? I'm asking you a question. Did I already know? Well, my feet, my toes burn so much every night that I would be on fire in my toes. And you know, oh, by the way, what happens to people who don't obey the symptoms? Snip, snip, snip with the toes. I'd already had the problem. I had another problem. Now, this is going to get personal for some people in this room, by the way. I also had the problem is every time I sat down, I fell asleep. Do you realize that's a pure symptom of diabetes? There's no joke about this, friend. I got fuzzy-headed. You know what my solution for being fuzzy-headed? I would drink a Mountain Dew, which has more, which would do this. And what happened after it did that? Bottomed out again. By the way, when I worked in the laboratory, and any doctor will tell you this, I'm going to read this. You don't have to like it. Lots of people don't like things. They would always say this. I would talk to doctors, and they would say, you never treat yourself. They would say this statement. The doctor who has himself or herself for a patient is a fool. The only thing more than being a fool, if you're a doctor that has yourself for a patient, is to be the patient who has himself or herself for a fool. You are a double times fool. By the way, friend, I had two major symptoms of diabetes. And what was I doing? Look, what was I doing with them? Thank you. I was ignoring them. 9.7, he said, I still remember. He's a nice guy. He's a decent guy. He looked at me and says, you got a problem with diabetes. We're going to have to put you on pills. You say, Pastor, I don't have that problem. I don't go see a doctor. You will be seeing the funeral director soon then, because this ain't a joke. You say, Pastor, why are you talking about it? Do you not understand what we're talking about here, friend? Healthy, sound doctrine is simply that which is healthy. Healthy doctrine, my second point, produces healthy Christians and lives. So you can already tell what you're eating. Your food intake produces health, or it produces the opposite. Yes, I was ignoring the two major symptoms, and I should have known. Look at me. I should have known, but the problem is it was me and not you. I can see you, but it's hard to see me. The burning in my toes, Jenny, do you remember what I thought it was? I thought it was gout. So I'd take ibuprofen, it would go away. But the problem was I started to realize every day, every night at night, do you realize once I got my A1C under control, I'd never get tired? I would sit down in a chair and it was A1C out of control. You say, are you preaching on health? Yes, because healthy doctrine produces healthy Christians. If you always find you have problems in your Christian life, somewhere along the line, you're not eating healthy teaching. Something's wrong. So the first two ideas, sound doctrine is simply healthy doctrine. That's the pastor's job. Healthy teaching, healthy doctrine that produces healthy Christians, and Christians meaning healthy in their lives, seems to be easy. Jenny will remember this story. She knew him a little bit. I worked with a guy named Bob Scott many years ago in the laboratory, an exceptionally brilliant med tech. He went and got two master's degrees, one in hematology and one in I think it was blood banking. He was very bright. Bob Scott said his sister and her husband brought their children to their house. Bob and his wife went to visit them at their house. That's how it worked. So he's at his sister's house. Everybody goes to bed. They get up the next morning. Everybody wanders out. You know, you're going to eat some breakfast. The children come out. He did not know that his, Dave, this is for you. He did not know that his sister had a theory of child rearing called free-range chickens. Do you all know what free-range chicken theory is? Whatever they want to do, they'll be okay. He said, I got up that morning. They came out, and they got sugar cereal. You know, the kind that it's more sugar than cereal. And then they put sugar on their sugar cereal. And he said at that point, it was getting a little gross. And then they did the ultimate, they took a can of soda and poured that on the cereal. Do you reckon it was healthy? Oh, wait a minute, but was it what they wanted? Yes. Yes. I have a little thing in the notes here. What have you been eating? There's three sources of what you eat. By the way, it's going to show up very quickly in how you wrestle with Scripture. You're going to be eating at church. But see, if you, I had a lady that used to come to this church. And I, after a point, I started to realize she always is at church, but she's never in church. She's always some other place. So she left here just like she came here. She was a zero when she came. She was a zero when she left, because she could just find some other place to be. But let me just say this. My life's goal is to preach the, we'll get to it in a minute, the whole counsel of God. We're dealing with everything all the time, but that's not the only place you eat. Where else do you eat? I hope, whether or not you use a physical Bible, which is okay, by the way, I actually, if you want my recommendation, use a physical Bible and use electronic. Do both. It'll change up what you see and think about, have many variations. Because you'll get used to whatever you do. But by the way, you both eat at church, as I say. You eat in devotions. You have your own time with the Lord, I hope. Or if you don't, You're starving yourself to death, and then you're also with people that sharpen you. Do you have those three groups? Well, next. I don't think I have any verses before it, but I might. I have said sound doctrine is simply healthy doctrine, that which is innately healthy and it produces good health. Secondly, I have said healthy doctrine that produces healthy Christians and lives. So I want to say this. If you're not healthy here this morning, hello, hello, hello. If you're not healthy here this morning, what are you doing at home? What is your time with the Lord? Let me ask you, could you not walk up here tonight, any person that's a believer, and you could recount what you have been reading and studying and meditating on in the last month? Couldn't you do 30 minutes of that? I'm not talking about as a sermon. I'm begging you. Do you not have time with God? Is it not obvious that you either do or don't? By the way, health comes from someplace, friend. Health is going to come from what you get at church, but some of you are here one service a week. I'm not mad at you. That's not enough. You have to do it personally, and you've got to get a group that are healthy people that are trying to make you more healthy. Yes or no? You've got to have the group. You should not hang out with people that are unsound. And by the way, if you're doing that, you're a child. You're acting like a two-year-old. No. Anybody that's dragging me down, I have cut off several friendships, not in this church. I'm talking about in my life. You say, why? They were not healthy for me. They were not bringing me forward. They were holding me back. You've got to figure this out, but that's what we do. Thirdly, third concept, health or healthy doctrine defined as. We have to get to a definition, and I'm going to make it very, very simple. I don't think it's deep. But we'll read some verses before we do that, if we could. What is healthy doctrine defined as? Jude verse 3. This gives you one summary verse that summarizes. Jude says this, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation," that's what he wanted to discuss. He says, "it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for," the King James says it fine, "for the faith which was once delivered to the saints." In Greek, it's exact words, with exception of faith is at the end of the sentence. And I love how it works in my mind. I'm going to read it as it's written in Greek. "For the once," hapax, "the once and forever delivered, handed over to the saints' faith." That which we believe was once and for all handed, delivered to us in the first century by the apostles, and it is our faith. And by the way, we have to earnestly contend for that. That's a big piece of what healthy doctrine is. Acts 20, verse 27. Paul makes this very powerful statement. "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." All the counsel of God. So we're trying to get at a definition of what is healthy doctrine. It is all of the counsel of God. It is the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Matthew 28, Jesus himself gives us this idea when he says, all right, you go, you reach people, you incorporate them through baptism, and you do what else? Teaching them to observe. What's that say? What's it say? Look at me. Charles Stanley's son. This is not religion. I'm not being opposed to anybody. I'm stating facts. Andy Stanley, in his book on preaching, said, you do not need to preach the whole Bible to people. If you ever hear that, what should your next step be? The door. He is told, by the way, then he's gone much, much further now. Oh, my goodness. He then came out and said, you don't need to do the Old Testament, and now it's the moral standards, and now we're compromised. By the way, friend, Jesus said this, you are to train people in everything I have commanded you. So friends, healthy doctrine. I'm going to give it to you on the board behind me. I wrote this down and it's been in my heart for 40 or so years. This is healthy doctrine. Remember I said this? Look at me. It's the whole counsel of God. Say it again. It's the whole counsel of God. Nothing added, nothing omitted, and then the hard part. Nothing exaggerated. that's the whole counsel of God. What's an exaggeration? Exaggeration, well, we'll get to that in a moment. That is what I want you to get this morning. The whole counsel of God, which means this. You have a Bible. Do you all have a Bible? Yes? Look at this. I went to a conference. Everybody look at me. I went to a conference for about 2 years locally in Waukegan with a group of pastors. Every single Saturday morning, I didn't go everyone, but many for about 2 years way back, every Saturday morning, somebody got up and read a psalm. There are, how many psalms are there? Somebody tell me. 150. The largest category of psalms is lament psalms, 67 of them. They never touched on doctrine. They never talked about lament. They never talked about sin. Every psalm they chose was a happy psalm. Do you understand we got a problem? We're ignoring things. By the way, God gave us 66 books. You need all of them? By the way, you don't need them all today. You can't get them all today. But over a year, as you read through the scripture, or if you can't do it in a year, over 2 years, and as you're learning, you start to say, wow, I start to see big picture of who God is, who we are, how we are to live. It puts it all together. The whole counsel of God, sound doctrine, healthy doctrine, is the whole counsel of God. Nothing added, I can't do it with my left hand. Doesn't work. Nothing omitted, nothing exaggerated. Deuteronomy is going to say the same thing. Deuteronomy 5, verse 32. You shall observe to do, therefore, as the Lord your God hath commanded you. By the way, that's the whole counsel of God, the central idea. You shall not turn aside to the right hand, meaning you don't add good things to it. You don't decide God needs help. On the other hand, you don't take anything away. He says, don't turn to the left hand either. Deuteronomy 12:32 gives a similar concept with different language. What things soever I command you, observe to do it, that thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Sound doctrine is the whole counsel of God. Nothing added, nothing omitted, nothing exaggerated. Movements tend, like cults, to add. Always when you run into a cult, you're going to figure out very quickly they add things to the scripture. They give you other things you must do and must know and must believe and other people that you have to follow. That's not our big problem. On the left side is omitting. Omitted is more by soft evangelicalism. So, everyone look at me. Let me just be straight with you. We're not playing here today. By the way, I don't have any access to grind. A friend of mine read, I will not mention the name, one of the large conservative evangelical pastors in America, all of his preaching for about 40 years. My friend comes from our kind of background. He says the strange thing was he never mentioned anything about drunkenness in a single sermon. Why not, Dave? They drink, and by the way, they don't just drink, Dave. They also drink to excess. They get drunk. And that pastor just said, I'm just going to miss that part of the Bible. Hello? By the way, gambling? I think nobody talks about gambling. Now we got the problem with pot being legal. And since it's legal, I guess it's okay, correct? By the way, please do me a favor. Tell that to the airline pilot when he climbs in behind the airline and see how he does if he has one iota of drugs and alcohol. And by the way, you are to be a sober-minded person, which means you are to be as clear-thinking as you can be. I want to say this. I think our problem in America is twofold. In most churches, they just omit things. And you know what they omit first? The word N-O. Or another word, the word N-O-T. Anything that's negative, they leave it out. There was a church out east, had a large group of single people. It's amazing that pastor never preached about living with your girlfriend, premarital sex. No, he left that out. That's what the evangelical left does. By the way, Proverbs 20 says this, wine is a mocker. I don't think that's changed. Would you bring somebody into your house that's going to make fun of you? Would you bring somebody into your life that's going to make fun of you? No. Wine is a mocker. I don't have time to discuss strong drink. It's not hard alcohol. That didn't exist. It's basically wine from any other fruit is raging. He's saying, listen, wine will mock you. Alcoholic drinks from any other thing, you know, apples, whatever. It's raging out of control. And he says, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise, but Pastor Warren, I drink, so I don't want you to talk about that. I can go to this church over there and they don't talk about that. Okay. Proverbs 23, verse 20. Be not among wine bibbers. That's old English, drunkards. Otherwise, don't hang out with it. Among riotous eaters of flesh. Why? For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Then there's all of these. Remember the Sabbath day. We don't talk about that because that would offend people. Honor thy father and thy mother. I think that's biblical. We don't talk about that. We definitely don't do any of the negatives. Thou shalt not kill. By the way, look at me. I cannot answer the question because some people wouldn't hear me. If we want to divide people up into ethnicities and races and all that, which, by the way, I think is verboten or forbidden for a Christian, but if we want to play that group, play that game, who is the group in America that has the most abortions? Don't answer the question out loud. It's not even close. My second question is, why do the pastors not preach against it? Well, that's not killing. Okay. I don't know what it is, because if you didn't kill the baby's born normally, so I don't quite understand that. By the way, you say, Pastor, you're meddling. Yes, thank you. I think you have to take the word of God and apply it in legitimate ways. Yes, thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, that's all according to what you mean by adultery. I think you better mean what God means. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness or lie. Thou shalt not covet. No need to even preach that in an American church. I say in the notes at the bottom, exaggeration is by far the hardest. I think exaggeration, when I say what is sound doctrine, it's healthy doctrine. It's the whole counsel of God. You don't add anything with one hand. You don't take anything away with the other. Nothing added, nothing omitted. Nothing exaggerated is the hard part. We tend to exaggerate things in weird ways. I say in the notes, all the parts in proper proportion. The hardest thing for a pastor is preaching the whole counsel of God and not focusing on one thing more than another. Friends, everybody look at me, please. Do you know why I preach through a book? Somebody do this and tell me. Why do I preach through books? Steve? Preach everything. There's a lot of things I don't want to talk about. Do you not know that? You don't want to preach something you know somebody's not going to like to hear. By the way, you get around a bunch of chatty Cathys, and that's just a generic term for people that like to talk, and then you hear about sound speech, somebody's going to get offended at that. Of course. By the way, there's a lot of things none of us want to hear. But not focusing, Steve. Every sermon's about the same thing. The only hope I have is preaching through books, because going through books, I cover everything sooner or later. You say, how important is exaggeration? Everyone look up here. If I omit doctrine, is that okay if I just omit some things? What if I add some things? Well, in some churches, that's okay. Exaggeration's hard. Years and years ago, I don't know who did it. I'm pretty sure it wasn't my wife. My wife is not perfect. She's closer to perfect than me. But I was at somebody's house and they had some brownies. Now, I don't eat brownies now. I don't cheat, because when you say you're cheating, you're not cheating. You're lying. Cheating is something you do once a year, not once a day. But that's beside the point. I don't eat brownies. But I used to. See how many? As many as I can get in my mouth. Was at somebody's house and they fixed brownies. And they, look at me, they had exaggerated the ingredients just a little bit. Instead of a teaspoon of salt, they did a tablespoon of salt. By the way, still had flour, yes? Still had sugar, still had chocolate, and everything, but it had, something wasn't, I want to say this. The job of a pastor is not to preach the Word of God. It's to preach the Word of God in a way where one thing doesn't get exaggerated. When I left St. Louis, the guy that succeeded me, I do not know why, he preached on divorce every service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, for the first 2 or 3 years. There aren't that many passages in the Bible, and there was nobody there trying to get divorced. Exaggeration. By the way, how did the brownies taste with a tablespoon of salt? And at first you think, maybe something's wrong with me. And then you realize she's made a mistake in her proportions. Preaching the Bible, friend, means this. I preach the whole counsel of God. I don't add anything. I don't take anything away. Nothing added, nothing omitted. But I got to try to do, and I can't do it what you want to hear. I only want you to preach what I want to hear. There's a church on every street corner. You can find the church that'll tell you what you want to hear. But the whole counsel of God is our obligation, and it's a big one. It's a huge one. Well, we go to the last concept. By the way, I already told you, this is just for you to understand what we're doing here. Yes, Steve, I preach through books. I don't just preach through books. I'm also doing this series on minor characters, major impact, because I started to realize there are people and events that I will never talk about. I've got to talk about it. By the way, I'm going to do the next series in case you want to know. I don't know when I'm going to start. I'm going to deal with the subject of turning points in biblical history. So you have an idea of where how things fit together. That'll be Sunday night too. I like these things. I've got to do it to teach. Well, let's look at the last concept. Titus 1 verse 9. Titus, Paul writes to Titus, which is then going to teach this to all of the elders, pastors, overseers. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. That's what is required of a pastor. He is someone that is stable. He's someone that has been trained and is in the process of being trained. That he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort probably the believer and to convince the gainsayers are the ones that oppose. That's just the word anti and the word lego. The one that speaks against. Verse 10. He says, for there be many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, that may be Jewish. It might just be people that have picked up little pieces of Judaism, mixed it in a bowl, and created something. Verse 13, this witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. So we have obligations as a pastor. We have obligations. These aren't suggestions. I don't know how many of these verses I got to. Tom, you can go ahead and go to the point number 4. Last thing this morning is this: healthy doctrine, although people prefer unhealthy doctrine. My job is to give you, look at me, friend, the gospel and the whole counsel of God. Look at me, which means I am not going to do Billy Baptist, get saved, get right, and get busy, which leaves you exactly the same person you were 30 years ago and you're real comfortable. Dave picked up on this in Sunday school. Comfort is the enemy of any forward movement. No, I'm not going to do that. I have to preach the whole counsel of God. Have you read Titus 2 recently? Have you read Titus 2 recently, men, ladies? It's strong stuff. It's the things that some people don't want to. By the way, that's my job. My job is not to say, but it's not to harp on anybody, to pound on it. But people would prefer, stay in your lane, Pastor. Let's talk about prophecy. Let's talk about Jewish evangelism. I love those. We have a Jewish evangelism session for a month. Nobody knows a single Jewish person, but everybody says, oh, isn't that neat? What are you doing with it? Nothing, because you're not talking to anybody. By the way, we play games in church. I had a person, some of you might know, wanted us to be a creation church. Every service, we need to talk about creation. No, we don't. We talk about creation because it's part of the Bible. There's many things in the Bible. Healthy doctrine or healthy teaching, even though people like not so healthy. Well, we'll look at Titus 1 verse 14. Not giving heed, he says, to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Titus 2:1. But speak thou the things which become sound or healthy doctrine. Verse 15 of chapter 2. These things speak, exhort, rebuke with all authority.
What does it mean, let no man despise thee? Hey, look at me. You're out there in the pew or sitting in a chair. Do you realize I know people and what they're going to like to hear? Do you know that? My job is to speak the truth in love, period. The whole counsel of God, nothing added, nothing omitted, nothing exaggerated. Healthy people come from dealing with the whole counsel of God. Unhealthy people come from ignoring what you don't like. So you stay where you are. I'm not going to Sunday school. I'm not going to listen to that. Okay. I'm not. You already know your problem. You have decided you will teach yourself what you want to hear. That's not a pastor's job. That's not this church's job. That's not any church's job. Now, is it easy? I've already told you. The only hard part about this to me is the exaggeration. Sometimes I think, am I hounding something too much? I remember preaching on forgiveness in this church, thinking I was going to help some people, and all I did was make people mad. Because I'm not forgiving! It's like, whoa, really? You're not going to forgive? You're telling me you have been forgiven by God and you're not going to forgive? Well, you only got two options, direct rebellion or number two, there's nothing to forgive. Your feelings have been hurt. By the way, you can't forgive hurt feelings. Forgiveness requires wrongdoing, folks, not hurt feelings. We'll move on. 2 Timothy 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, the living, that's Old English for the living, and the dead. So he's coming. I'm giving you a command, Paul says to Timothy. Then in verse 2, this is my job. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Otherwise, when people are excited or when people are not excited, makes no difference. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering in this teaching again. Trying to move people forward. Trying to move not only you forward, us forward. All of us going forward. Why? He even says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, meaning healthy teaching. Their name is Evie. No! I don't want that! Yuck! The time will come when they will not endure the healthy teaching of Scripture, which is what? The whole counsel of God. Nothing added, nothing omitted, nothing exaggerated. It's that simple. They don't want that. But after their own lust, they have their own purposes. Shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears? And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I'll conclude by saying this. Some things are okay in small amounts, just physically. For most people, sweets, desserts are perfect in small doses. Let me ask you a question, mothers. Would you go home today and serve your kids 6 desserts and no food? Not if you're any kind of human mother, because you want your children to be healthy. Small amounts, that's fine. We got that. And there's many good things that I love in the Scripture. Some things are a little harder, obviously. Some things are unhealthy, and some things are absolutely poison and poisonous. I started working on this sermon about 3 weeks ago, thinking about sound doctrine. My mind went back to a place. You want to put that up there, Tom, the first photo? This is a place in England. It is a Roman villa. Now, the weird part is, somewhere in the 1800s, they put little tops on the stones. That's as high up as the Roman villa still exists. The tops weren't there, obviously, at one time. This is a Roman villa, and it's Chedworth, a Roman villa. Beautiful place. Jenny and I went there. Next photo, please. They have some tile. I mean, there's 2 or 3 of those there. Just unbelievable. Since the ground covered it up and they uncovered it, now they got it under something. Some beautiful stuff from 2nd or 3rd century AD. Beautiful. Next. Do you remember going here, Jenny? I don't know if you remember seeing this. They had a place that the Romans 1817, 1600 years ago got water from. And the unbelievable part, now it doesn't look really enticing right here. You can see over where the line goes. The unbelievable part is it still works from Roman times. Now it needed to be cleaned up if you were going to use it to drink. With one exception.
pipe is made of lead. Is lead a problem, Jennifer? Is lead good for you? Lead is a what? Heavy metal. Heavy metals do not break down. They accumulate in the body and they absolutely kill you. There are several other heavy metals. One of them is called, and we're going to check some of the men here after next week's blood levels, of arsenic is a heavy metal. Arsenic. Yes, arsenic will kill you. What's the worst one? Mercury. Yes. Here's the weird thing. We come home Thursday night. I'm exhausted from preaching all week, interacting with students, professors. It was great at Maranatha. I'm pretty much worthless. I got to do some mental cleanse. Forgive me. I go on YouTube. You say, what did you watch? History, of course. And by the way, Amy, not boring history. Thank you very much. History on the Maya world. And it was talking about the Maya collapse, the two huge cities, one in southern Mexico in the state of Campeche called Calakmul. Jenny and I have been there many times. One a little bit south in Guatemala called Tikal. We've only been there once. And they had a guy checking soil samples. Are you all listening? For heavy metals. They're trying to figure out why did these people just abandon it. And heavy metals of some varieties will cause your stomach to be this big. And the last ruler of Tikal had a stomach this big. I mean, a little bitty guy. And you know what they found? The levels of mercury in the soil is like 10 to 20 times higher than is safe. These people were dying from heavy, look at me, they were dying from the very water they drank. They were killing themselves. Dada, if you go to the Philippines, do you drink water? You don't just go to the tap and turn it on. Why not? You might get stuff. Yes. By the way, almost all over the world, the last thing you would ever do is just turn on the tap and get water, except America and a few other places. You say, why? Because you'd be poisoned from what you're drinking. Friends, look at me. I'm done this morning. This morning's sermon's real simple. Now, I already know there are people who are not even going to like me to talk about this. I know that because comfort, we like to stay where we are. Sound doctrine is simply this, healthy teaching. Healthy teaching that produces healthy people. Just like if you eat appropriately, you tend to be more healthy. And if you eat inappropriately, you tend to be less healthy. By the way, it isn't really rocket science. Sound doctrine defined in this way, the whole counsel of God. Nothing added, nothing omitted. The hard part is nothing exaggerated. That's what I look at, work on, think about all the time. Healthy doctrine, even though people prefer. By the way, Amy, if you let your children, would they just eat dessert all the time? What do you all think about that? Would you? The answer is 100% yes. You would heap to yourselves exactly what you want. That's what we all do. That's the sermon for this morning. Let's pray together, please. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, this is, I think, very central stuff. Sound doctrine is not my thinking opposed to others. It's the simplicity of what Paul says. I have taught you the whole counsel of God, all the counsel of God. It's the faith which was once delivered to the saints. It's teaching them to keep all the things that I have commanded you. That's who we are. That's what we're doing. Father, help us to continue that process. And yes, we always come to parts of the Bible that we don't like. What do we do? Cut it out? Ignore it? Go to the church that simply says, I won't discuss that. That's all part of the disputable issues. That's a gray area, which everything seems to be a shade of gray these days. Help us to hear this morning. Help us to understand sound doctrine. The whole counsel of God. Nothing added, nothing omitted, nothing exaggerated. Bless now our time in Christ's name. Amen.